I didn't greet you this morning because I wanted to do it at church. But yeah, we can just dive right into the verses. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gathered where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Thank you.
Thank you. This is not an easy section in Matthew, right? I think we ought to pray a little bit. Lord, we want you to speak to us through your word. Give us the understanding that you want to give us this morning. Lord, give us some insight to who you are.
Yeah.
Lord, we want to have a proper understanding of what kind of a God we have. So we pray that through this section in Matthew, you would show us something more of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we are in this section in Matthew. This is the 33rd message in Matthew. And we are in this section of Matthew, a few chapters here, especially on parables. Matthew used a lot of the parables that Jesus spoke. And it's important to know how to understand parables. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And what's the trouble? The trouble is that we will be troubled. So, parables. My first statement is this, and it may be somewhat controversial for some people, but anyway, I'm going to say it anyway. Parables are parables, not allegories. Parables are not allegories. And you say, "I don't get the difference." Here's the difference. A parable is a story about common things to make a point. Allegories are stories that where you use all the different points in the story to make points, or each thing in the story refers to something. Jesus did not speak in allegories. He spoke parables. And if you read the parables carefully, almost every parable basically has one point. It's a punchline at the end. And that's what you're supposed to get. You're not supposed to add all kinds of things in between. Okay? So, Always ask yourself when you're reading a parable, what's the main point? What's the takeaway? Now, FYI, because we want to finish Matthew by the end, Labor Day is the last day of Matthew, we have to have some fill-in sessions. So if you want more of Matthew, you've got to come at 10, because Nigel's been covering Matthew, and he didn't get all the way through he wanted to share today. But I just want to say this. As an example of when you over-allegorize, gets you into trouble, and also doesn't make logical sense. So, the parable of the 10 virgins, which he's going to cover next week at 10. The parable of the 10 virgins talks about 10 virgins. And it talks about a bridegroom. Now, the bridegroom marries who?
Bride.
The bride. The bridegroom is not marrying the 10 virgins. Therefore, the 10 virgins are not the bride. And the 10 virgins are not the church. Because the bride is the church. So who are the 10 virgins? It doesn't matter. That's the point. It doesn't matter. The point is, be ready. So in all of these parables, there's this line. Be ready. Be watchful. You don't know the time of the coming of the Son of Man. So be ready. Be watchful. Be prepared. That's the point you're supposed to get. Parable after parable after parable. Be ready. You don't know the time. He's coming like a thief. Doesn't mean he is a thief. No, he's coming like a thief. What's the point of the thief? You don't know when he's coming. So these parables are talking about the Lord's second coming. And the main point is, be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Does it tell you how to be prepared? No. Not until this parable we're talking about this morning. This parable is the first parable that's telling you a little bit how to be prepared. Okay. I think I'm clear, right?
All right.
So, the question is, how to be ready? What are you going to do to be ready? What are you going to do to be prepared? Okay, so we have this parable of the talents. The thing is this. Those of us who have been around for a long time read this parable, and possibly because of our understanding of it or the way we were taught, how many of you like this parable? How many of you feel condemned by this parable? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. They're all up anyway, so. What makes the difference? The difference is how we view the Lord's coming. And related to that is, how do we view the Lord who is coming? What is your understanding of him? What is your concept? What kind of a God do you have? Do you have a God who's got a big stick, who's ready to beat you as soon as you fail? Or baseball bat? Is that the kind of God you have? A God with a big stick? Do you have a God who is expecting you to fail or expecting you to succeed? How do you view God? You know, if you have a view that, well, this Christian life thing is really hard. I know I'm a Christian. I got saved. Thank the Lord for that. But man, this is hard. And I know the bar is just too high, and I'm not going to make it. And so why even try? Is that the kind of God you have? Is that the kind of concept of God that produces that kind of a result? So, this morning, Not only do we want to try and understand this parable, but we want to try and understand God. Who's the kind of God we have? Our concept of God determines what kind of life we will lead and what kind of person we will be. Our concept, let me repeat that, our concept of God determines what kind of life we will lead and what kind of person we will be. What kind of relationship do we have with our God? Do we have a relationship with a God like, say, like a child has with their parents, who is always scared of their parents, who feels like, I will never measure up to my parents' expectation, therefore, why should I try? No matter how hard I try, it's not good enough. Is that the kind of, like a child who has that kind of thought concerning their parent? I'm not talking about parenting at all, right? Or do we have a relationship with our God, like a child who has an intimate relationship with their parent, knows that their parent loves them, would even die for them, would do anything for them? Yes, there's expectations, but they know that parent loves them to the uttermost, and because they know that their mom and dad love them to the uttermost, they would do anything for their parent. That's the kind of relationship we're talking about here. What kind of relationship do you have? So, we have a quote here concerning this parable from a guy, I can't even pronounce his name. His name, first name is Steve, that's good enough. In this parable of the talents, all three of the servants desire to please their master, but one man's misguided opinion of his master hampered his ability to please him. This erroneous perception paralyzed his decisions and led him to bury his talents. How we view God and who we believe him to be will greatly dictate what kind of servant we will be. Excellent quote, right? Yes. How we view God determines how we will be. You know, the first two songs we sang this morning, I know you don't remember them anymore, but I do because I'm giving this message, really speak to what I'm talking about this morning. Actually, I think they left them here. Great. Perfect. Great are you, Lord. Where is it? Maybe it's page 2. Where is it? Something about the love, is it? Somewhere. Can't find it here now. But anyway, these songs speak of a... I like this. This is Amazing Grace. It's good. This is Amazing Grace. This is unfailing love. You took my place. You bear my cross. You would lay down your life that I would be set free. Isn't that amazing love? And this is the way the Apostle Paul, in his letters in the New Testament, spoke about God. Right? He says in Romans, I believe it's chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. Then he goes on, this can't. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20 also talks about, right? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What motivated Paul, the apostle, to live and work the life that he did? The love of God in Christ motivated him. A few years back, we had this couple, right? Why can't I get the Greg and Diane Decker were here with us. And she testified in a home meeting. She says, why do I have such a heart to serve the Lord? Because I love him. Not because I fear him. I'm scared of him. But I love him. I'm motivated to serve him because I love him. This love relationship. Out of this love relationship produces a life, a living, actions. Seeing, and this is where, I like this, Tim Keller has said, we need to preach the gospel to ourselves on a regular basis. What does that mean? That means to refresh our appreciation of the love of God in Christ Jesus through his sacrifice of the cross. That is the motivating factor for us to live our Christian life, to operate in our Christian life. Well, looks like I haven't even gotten to the parable yet, have I? Let's quickly look at this parable. So, we read the parable. What's happening here? The parable is a story of a master who entrusts to his servants talents. Okay. First of all, if you read carefully in this section, the talents are given according to each person's ability. That means the talents are not the ability. They are given according to the ability, number one. Number two, they are the master's possession. They belong to him. So actually, it's not ours, it's his. And this is where people have used this, use your talent. Well, actually, that's not the meaning of talent in this section. This talent is God's possession. Thirdly, a talent is actually a weight of something. Whether it's a talent of gold, a talent of silver, a talent of bronze, and accordingly. But it's not a little bit. It's a lot. It is generally believed that one talent equals 20 years of wages. Take your salary, your annual salary, multiplied by 20. That's one talent. Do you think God is stingy? Even the person who got one talent got 20 years. God is generous to the uttermost. And God expects success. He expects what he gives us will produce fruit. Because he believes in what he's given us. He hasn't given us a bad investment. What's a bad investment? Disastrous shares in the stock market. I'm not even clear. But he hasn't given us something. He hasn't given us shares in Tesla. No, he's given us something that belongs to him that will produce results. You know, what's striking is this parable doesn't tell us what that is. It doesn't. Because that's not really the point. The point is, what are we going to do with what God has given us that is of his possession? So if you look carefully in these verses, in verse 16, it said, the man who had received five talents went, put them to work. Put them to work and earned five more. The same man with the two earned two more. He put what God had given to work. Whatever it is, And they want, what's the result then? Then the result says, Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. And the two, he gained 2 more. Now, what's striking about this parable is this. The one who gave, who was given 5, and his 5 produced 5 more, the commendation that he got from the master is what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now, 5 talents, that's 5 times 20, that's 100 years' salary, that's a few things. Right? Go figure. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Share your master's joy. The person who received 2 talents and gained 2 more, guess what his commendation was? Exactly the same. It's not a matter of how much. It's not a matter of how much. It's a matter of faithfulness to what God has given to us that actually belongs to him, his possessions, that have been entrusted to us. Different people have said what these talents are. I'm not going to say this is definitive, but I would say this. What is precious? What is worth lots that belongs to God, that has been given to us, that is still God's? At least there's one thing that I can think of, and that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? That is worth more than 1 talent. What are we doing with this precious item? I think part of the problem is we may not even know and grasp the preciousness of it. You know, if the parable ended here, went no further, what would be your impression of the master? He has a lot of joy. He's a joyful master. He's a happy master. But the parable continues. The man who received 1 talent also approached and says, Master, I know you. Actually, that's a lie. He doesn't really know him. Anyway, he says, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid. I was paralyzed by fear. I was paralyzed by fear. I was afraid. I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. His master replied to him, you evil, lazy servant. I like this translation, and that's why I chose it. If you knew. He didn't say, since you knew. He said, in other words, you think. You think I'm that way. I don't agree with you. I'm not saying I agree with you, but that's what you're thinking. But if you really did think I was that way, then you should still have invested it. So first of all, his understanding concerning the master is faulty. And that produced inaction, fear, paralysis. Since I'm not going to make it, why bother even trying? Have you said that before? Since the bar is up here, you put that bar up there. But since the bar is up here, I can't make it, so why bother even trying? That is not the concept of God. That's your concept. So, There's two kinds of responses from these servants. One is, oh, this is great. Actually, the response from the first two is more of a implied response. We don't really know what's going on in their thought process. We don't know what's in their heart. We just know by their action. Oh, God has given me 100 years worth of salary. This is his, not mine. It's his. What do I do with God's possession, this treasure that belongs to God? Let's multiply it. Let's multiply this treasure that God, this possession of God's. Let's multiply God's possession. Let's see God's possession enlarged, expanded. Both the first man and the second servant. Same attitude, same response, same action. The third one, you say he had only one talent. No, he didn't have only one talent. He had one talent. Either, who knows what he exactly thought. He thought he's, okay, what the Bible says, he's a harsh master. His attitude was wrong, and it produced paralysis. Nothing. Inactivity. God doesn't expect, let me say this, God doesn't expect the same amount from everybody. That's very clear from this parable. According to your ability, God has expectations. But he doesn't expect the same thing from everybody. Hence, a person who has, I don't know how you describe this, 10 pounds of ability or 5 pounds of ability, God expects the one with 10 pounds of ability to produce according to the 10 pounds. Someone who has 5 pounds, God expects to then produce according to the 5 pounds. And if they do, the response is the same. God's response is the same. Of course, we have two responses from the servants, and we got two responses from the master. God expects faithfulness. God expects us to do something. But let me say this. God's expectation is a positive expectation. His possessions will produce. Because that's the very nature. The nature of the gospel is spreading. That's its nature. But it does require us. So I have this little vegetable garden in the back of my house, and I've been faithful every year to, do things. But faithfulness sometimes requires a little bit of thought. So this year, I did something different. I added more fertilizer than usual. So guess what happened? Wow, it really produced. My pumpkins, which were like this last year, are like this year. They're so nice that some critters are eating them. Squirrels, raccoons, I don't know what. But anyway, they've enjoyed them before I can. I guess I'm taking care of God's creation. But it requires faithfulness. It requires some work. And it requires not just faithfulness to maintain status quo, but faithfulness with some insight. So, how are we to be ready for the Lord's coming? Is to take what belongs to God, his possessions, let them work. Let God's possessions work. The very possessions of God in its inherent nature, it will work if you let it work, if you work with it. Yes, it does require us to be faithful. So, I know I'm going to make this application, but this not, application is not strictly according to these verses, but I think it may help. We like to see the good news of the gospel of Christ spread at large, have more opportunity to reach people. That is the main reason for our going to two services beginning in September. That's the main reason. Just like a store, they want more business, they open longer hours. Right?
Yes.
If you open shorter hours, people will go to somebody else's store. So, as a result, we're going to two services mainly why we want to have more opportunity for the possession that God has given us to increase, to reproduce, to multiply, whatever word you want to use. More, two different times gives more opportunity to reach people. You want to come at 9:30? You come at 9:30. You want to come and you want to sleep in and come at 11:30? You come at 11:30. Whatever works. This is our reasoning for going to two services. We want to reach more people. Amen. And next week, we're going to ask you to give some indication which service you're going to attend. Let me pray for us before we sing a last song. Lord, we pray this morning that we would have a proper view of who you are. Lord, forgive us, first of all, for not seeing your love toward us. Forgive us for not seeing the love in Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross for those of us who don't deserve anything. Lord, grant us this appreciation, deep appreciation of your gospel regularly. And we pray that that would motivate us to live a life of love to you, responding back to you in love, serving you as your servants, and longing to see your possessions multiplied.
Amen.
Lord, secondly, forgive us for our laziness. Lord, motivate us stronger with your love that we could really live a life that matches you, loving you, responding to you. And Lord, lastly, we thank you. You don't have a big stick.
Amen.
You're a God of love. You're a God of a heart of forgiveness. We know we fail again and again, daily. But we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who took away all our sins that we can live and love. And what a privilege and honor that we can serve you. We ask all of this in your dear and precious name, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.